Grace and peace to you from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. More like 60 years ago, a group of boys went to camp in Oklahoma, Robbers Cave State Park. They were just boys going to camp, planning on playing in the lake, hiking, playing tug of war, building fires, that sort of thing. And for the most part, that's what they did. But there was a psychologist who was a little bit interested in doing a study with these boys. He put them into two groups, told them, this is your team, this is your group, this is who you'll sleep with, who you'll hike with, who you'll swim in the lake with, cook with, all that sort of thing. And let the boys continue on in their camp activities. And pretty soon, the boys were very attached to their groups. There were the eagles and the rattlesnakes, or rattlers, sorry. Don't want to get these boys' camp names wrong. The eagles and the rattlers were proud to be eagles and rattlers. They made flags and signs. They had symbols that said who they were. They had chants, we're the eagles, we are the rattlers. They knew they were the best group, each one of them. You see, the psychologist was interested to see what would happen when you put people into groups that were entirely arbitrary. These kids were all from the same backgrounds, and none of them knew each other before they got to camp. But now, all of a sudden, they had identity. They were eagles or rattlers. And they were certain they were better than those other guys over there. Both of them. They had competitions, who could win tug of war, who could, you know, do certain sports things better. They even tried to, like, section off parts of the sports area. You can tell I know about sports. Like the kickball fields and everything. And tell the other team they couldn't come and practice there. It didn't take but a few days for these groups to form, for these deep-set beliefs about their group and that other group over there. What the psychologist found out, though, 60 years ago is something that is so clear when you look at the world and when you look at history and when you look at ourselves. We like clear lines. We like to know who are our people and who are not our people. We like to know who's in and who's out. We form identities in groups. We form identities with each other. That is deep in our human nature. And it's not even inherently bad. We have formed an identity as this church. We are Good Shepherd. We aren't a different church down the street. We aren't a different denomination. We are Lutherans. We are Good Shepherd. That means something to us. I would say it's a good thing. But when we form these groups, it's so easy for us to say, that group over there that I'm not part of, not my group, but that group over there, they're not as good. Or even, and this is where we come into the place where sin enters the mix, God is not with that group over there. When I studied the Civil War in high school and college, both sides, the North and the South, were certain God was on their side. God would help them win the war. We know how history happened, but I'm not so certain God wasn't on both sides and devastated that war was happening. You see, groups, divisions, lines, boundaries, they are a normal part of the human world. Defining ourselves in relation to other people is normal, but it's so easy to start to say, those ones over there, God doesn't like them. Because I don't like them, so God can't. I say this is true throughout history, and it's true in our gospel story today. This lawyer who came up to test Jesus, he acted in a very traditional manner for that time. He asked questions, and Jesus asked questions back. They had a dialogue. And he wanted to know, first off, what should he do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus asks him, what's in the law? And it's simple, and Jesus has told us this. Love God. With all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, love God. And love your neighbor as yourself. Easy to say, and we know, harder to do in action. But the lawyer has another interesting question. See, he's a man who knows about lines and divisions, who's in and who's out. There's the Romans over there, the Jews, Samaritans over there, but we're not going to talk about them, right? All sorts of groups. So he says, all right, I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Who is that? Where's the line? Where's the division I draw between the people I'm supposed to love and the people I don't have to worry about? It's not an unreasonable question for a normal human person to ask. But Jesus gives us an answer that shows us just what the depth of God's love is. If you've grown up in the church, you know this story. The Good Samaritan. This story is so deep in our culture that we call people who stop and help us on the side of the road Good Samaritans, even though none of us know what a Samaritan is in this day and age. This story is deep in how we know, in what we know. But I think we also often put ourselves in the position of the Samaritan, the priest, or the Levite. Are we the ones who walk on by, or are we the ones who stop and help? And that's a worthwhile question. It's a worthwhile thing to think about, but that's not quite what Jesus wanted to get the lawyer to hear. The lawyer wasn't a priest, a Levite, or a Samaritan, and he probably wouldn't have put himself in that position in the story. So he would have put himself in the only person left. The man who was going down a road, who was robbed, beaten, and left naked and injured in a ditch. And then in that position, in that place of vulnerability, in that place of need, he looks up over the ditch, and who comes to help him? A Samaritan. There's a Jewish author and scholar that I really love. Her name's A.J. Levine. She does a lot of speaking about the Gospels, and she talks about this story, and she says, to put it in context for how bad it would be that your neighbor, the person who helped, who showed mercy, is a Samaritan, think about yourself in that place. Who's the person? Or what group would that person come from that you would never want to say, they helped me. They showed me mercy. For her, it would be a member of Hamas. It's that serious, that difference, that divide between these two. Think about it. If you were stuck, near dead, in deep need of help, whose face would you never want to see coming to offer you that help? Whose face is it that says that you want to say, nope, I can't tell someone they helped me? A criminal? A drug dealer? Someone who's been in prison for years and years for a crime we know is horrible? A Muslim? A member of Al-Qaeda? And then Jesus asked the lawyer, who was the neighbor to that man? The lawyer can't even say his title. He can only get out the words, the one who showed him mercy. we know that we don't actually do anything to inherit eternal life, the question this lawyer started with. We know we can never measure up. We can never be good enough to deserve the gifts God gives us. And this story shows us that all the more, because this story shows us that God's love, God's grace, erases all of the lines we put up, all of the boundaries, all of the us and them. When we draw a line and say, God is with us over here and not them over there, God looks at us and says, oh, child, I am with you, but I love them too. It's not to say God loves things that people do that are violent or harmful, but God is the creator of us all. God is always erasing those boundary lines. God's grace makes a neighbor out of the person you would never want to be. We don't get to pick and choose who our neighbors are. We don't get to decide it's this group of people that I'm comfortable loving. God makes a neighbor out of all of those who help us and who we can reach out to and help. God makes a neighbor of those who are next to us, whether we want them to be or not. God makes a neighbor of those who have lived in lives of so many types. We're good at lines. We're good at boundaries, borders, us and them. And it's not that we can't have our identities and our groups. But when we start saying God's with us and not with them, think about the man in the ditch and the Samaritan who came to help him. How must he have felt about us and them that day? Saved, healed, helped, shown love. The love of God that reaches across borders and boundaries and lines. The love of God that says, oh, my child, I do love you. And I'm sending you to love them. Or, oh, my child, I do love you. And I'm sending them to show you just how much I love you. That is our God. That is the grace that we live in every day. The grace that says those lines are not drawn in permanent ink. Those lines are not there to keep us apart. Because God is on both sides of every line we see. Because of God's incredible love and grace for all of us. Even the Samaritans. Amen.